Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Let me invite you to find in your Bible Luke. And let's start at Luke chapter 24, verse 1 in a moment. It may help you to have this little piece of paper. If God speaks to your heart, write it down. Capture what He says. Let me ask you this question. Is anyone here dealing with any problems? You may say, yes. Yes, Jay, and they're seated right beside me. But more likely, if you look in the mirror, you'll find your biggest problem. Would you make this note? Would you name your nemesis? Would you name your nemesis? Nemesis is the Greek mythological character who would chase people down to hurt them. Name your nemesis. What does it look like today? Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's physical. Maybe it's emotional or relational. But let me remind you that your biggest problem is terminal. You've got a terminal problem. That's why I'm sharing this title, Terminating Your Grave Problems. One day, someday, probably sooner than you think, you will face death. So let me ask you, what is your strategy when you face our ultimate human nemesis, death? Here's what Ted Williams did. When Ted Williams died, he had contacted the Alcor Life Extension Foundation. Have you heard of it? The Alcor Life Extension Foundation in Scottsdale, Arizona. It is a place that specializes in cryogenics. In other words, you make a contract with them, and when you die, and it only costs $200,000, they take your body and they freeze it in liquid nitrogen. Your corpse is submerged in liquid nitrogen at minus 120. And it preserves it. And the theory is, if there's a medical cure someday in the future for what has killed you, then they just thaw you out. That's why Ted is chilling out right there. Let me give you a better strategy. Why don't you submerge yourself in the Lordship of Jesus Christ? That's the better strategy. It does not cost $200,000. He's available here and now. And He invites you to follow Him and terminate your grave problems. Let's come now to 1 Peter 1. Verse 3, it's on your worksheet. Here's what qualifies him to make that invitation. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. For the next few moments, let's explore the empty tomb. Let's explore Easter and see if we can extract its deep meaning this morning. Luke chapter 24, verse 1, we find the truth of God. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. It happened that while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling apparel. And as the women were terrified and bowed their heads to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again? And they remembered his words and returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. I want you to see this morning three aspects of the empty tomb, three aspects of resurrection, because I want you to remember, because the tomb is empty, you don't have to be. Because the tomb is empty, you can be full of his peace, pardon, purpose, and power. And let me show you, number one, the resurrection was a miracle. Please make that note. The resurrection was a miracle. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is no doubt the most examined, studied, and debated event in human history. There have been countless people who have proposed outlandish theories to negate the fact of the resurrection. And yet, the evidence for the resurrection is compelling. Let me just give you one current example. There was a man that many have heard of named Lee Strobel. Lee Strobel went to Yale University, attended the law school there. He was a brilliant journalist and attorney, and he eventually became the legal editor for the Chicago Herald Tribune. Lee Strobel was a very vocal atheist. He did not believe there was a God. He didn't want God to get in his way, he said. Listen to his testimony. For most of my life, I was an atheist. I thought the idea of an all-loving, all-powerful creator of the universe was simply stupid. My background is in journalism and law. I tend to be a skeptical person. I was the legal editor of the Chicago Tribune, so I needed evidence before I believed anything. One day, my wife came up to me. She had been an agnostic, and she said after a period of spiritual investigation, she had decided to become a follower of Jesus Christ. I thought, this is the worst possible news I could get. I thought she was going to spend all of her time helping the poor on Skid Row. I thought, this is the end of my marriage. But in the ensuing months, I saw positive changes in her values and her character. In the way she related to me and the children, it was winsome. It was attractive. And it made me check things out. So I went to church one day, mainly to see if I could get her out of this cult. Instead, I heard the message of Jesus articulated for the first time in a way that I could understand it. I understood that forgiveness is a free gift, that Jesus Christ died for my sin, and we could spend eternity with him. I walked out saying, I'm still an atheist, but I was also saying, if this is true, it has enormous implications for my life. So I used my journalism training and legal training to begin to investigate whether there was any credibility to Christianity or any other world faith system. I did that for a year and 9 months. Then I realized, in the light of this torrent of evidence flowing in the direction of the truth of the resurrection and the truth of Christianity, it would require more faith for me to maintain my atheism than to become a Christian. Because to be an atheist, I would have to swim upstream against the torrent of evidence pointing toward the truth of Jesus Christ. So I received Jesus Christ as my forgiver and my leader. Strobel's book is the classic, The Case for Christianity. I would urge you to get it and grow your faith. You see, there are two compelling historical reasons to believe in the miracle of the resurrection. Number one, his absence. The resurrection is certified by his absence. Look again to your worksheet. Matthew 28 declares that the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He's absent. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see and look at the place where he lay. Then go and quickly tell his disciples he is risen from the dead, and he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him." You see, he was absent from the tomb. If you travel this earth, it is littered with grave sites and tombs. Some are fancy, like the pyramids or the Taj Mahal. Or you can go to a country graveyard and you can find all kind of markers and monuments to the dead. If you're a Muslim, you can go to Medina and you can see the shrine to Muhammad. You can go, though, to Jerusalem and you will find no tomb or shrine for Jesus. I've been to the place where they laid him in the grave, and I'm here to report that it is empty. And because it is empty, we can be full. There's another certification for the validation of the resurrection. It's his absence and his appearances. Make this note, his appearances. You see, the most compelling evidence for the authenticity of the resurrection is that Jesus appeared not to a few, but to hundreds and hundreds of people. They saw the living proof of the living Savior. He predicted he would arise, and then he proved it as he met with his disciples. There was doubtful Thomas. Thomas said, "I can't believe until I see the scars in his hands." And can't you hear Thomas as he touches the wounds and falls to his face and declares, "Jesus, you are my Lord." You see, there were hundreds of people who saw the risen Jesus. That's one thing for two or three people to pull off a hoax. But how could 500? A brilliant man named Chuck Colson, he was in Nixon's White House, part of the Watergate scandal that brought that president down. He later became a born-again Christian. And here's what he wrote after he studied the resurrection. He talked about his own experience in the White House. He said, "If six Harvard and Yale educated men could not stand the media scrutiny to protect the most powerful man on earth, how likely is it that 11 uneducated fishermen could withstand torture, imprisonment, and death to cover up a hoax concerning an obscure Jewish rabbi? As incredible as the resurrection may seem, a cover-up is even more unbelievable." You see, his absence and his appearance validate the resurrection. Well, let's go to number two. Let's move beyond the resurrection was a miracle and look at the fact that the resurrection has deep meaning. Let's look at the resurrection's meaning. The scripture declares in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Here's the ultimate meaning. You don't have to be a victim in this world. You can be God's victor. That's what he wants to do. He wants you to share in his victory, in his love, his peace, his power, his provision, his purpose for now and eternity. That's the goal of God. Let me show you four transforming truths. Because the fact has an impact. Number one, make this note. You see, the resurrection is a validation of his identity. It's a validation of his identity. The resurrection means that all of the claims of Christ are true. Jesus said some astonishing things. He said in this dark, hurtful, fallen world, he said in John 8, "I am the light of this world. Whoever follows after me, you don't have to walk in darkness, but I'll give you that illuminating light of life." Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd, and I've laid down my life for the sheep, and my sheep can now hear my voice. They can know me, and they can follow me. Jesus said, "I'm the vine, you're the branch. If you'll connect to me, I'll let your life count and be full and fruitful." Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." We can count on these claims. They've been validated by his resurrection. But his ultimate claim is this. In John chapter 11, after his friend Lazarus died, he made the most startling and stunning statement of all. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if they die, yet they will live." That is the sweetest statement ever made to human ears on planet Earth, because it says that our ultimate nemesis, our grave problem, can be terminated. And you can trust him, because he is the resurrected Savior, and his resurrection validates his identity, which then validates his credibility to invite you to follow him. It was C.S. Lewis, that brilliant scholar who taught both at Cambridge and Oxford, who put it like this. He was an atheist until he was 31. Tolkien had a great influence on C.S. Lewis. He began to urge him to study the Bible. He began to urge him to look at the resurrection. When he was 31 years old, traveling to the zoo, he said, "I was converted to following Christ." And he concluded with this great summary statement. Jesus was one of three things. He was either a lunatic, a liar, or Lord. And he told BBC television, "I have concluded, because he is resurrected, that he is my Lord." I pray the same for you. Look at number two. The resurrection means a pardon for your iniquity. A pardon for your iniquity. That is so important, friends, because everybody on planet Earth deals with sin and death. The Bible says in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned. Every person who has ever lived, they sin by what they do or fail to do. And here's the problem. God has no sin in him. He is perfect, pure, and holy. And he must judge sin. That's what we learn in Romans 6, verse 23. The wage of our sin is death. And that's a special word. It means spiritually disconnected from life. That's death. And it's forever. Remember, eternity is a long time to be wrong. You can't be wrong about this. The Bible says the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. We learn in Colossians 3:14 that Jesus can forgive your sin and cancel your debt. Now, here's the good news. A lot of you right now are living in a state of guilt, shame, and regret. And that guilt, shame, and regret, it is damaging your present and it's ruining your future. And there's a way to deal with that sin in your life. Jesus wants to give you a second chance to do over. Now, I'm not much of a golfer, but let me tell you about my best shot. It's the mulligan. In golf, a mulligan is when you get to do it over. We had a First Baptist golf tournament the other day, and I bought three mulligans. I would have bought 100 if they would have sold them. Because that means when you make that bad shot, you know what you get to do? You get to try again. A mulligan is, let's do it again. And Jesus provides that in my life. He provides the opportunity to do it again. Oh, friends, that's the heart of the good news. You get to start over. You get to try it again. Always remember, John 3, verse 17 says, God did not come to condemn you. He didn't come to rub it in. He came to rub it out. Remember, Jesus has already been crucified. So you don't have to crucify yourself. Jesus did not come to condemn you. He came to change you so that you would conform to his image. That's the heart of the good news. But look at number three. There's the validation of his identity, the pardon of your iniquity, and power for every difficulty. You see, here's the point. If God can change that wicked cross into a glorious resurrection, that means that his power is bigger than your problem. Now, I've read a lot of self-help books, and you have too. Do you know the problem with a self-help book? A self-help book will identify the problem. They will give you a plan, but they don't provide any power. You know, here's the point. We need power. And I want to give you the most fundamental illustration of how it works. You see, I need power to defeat the temptation in my life. And I've discovered that the source of my power. Oh yeah. I've discovered the power that I can use to drill down into my fear and to defeat temptation. I've discovered that power is when you connect your life to Jesus. That's really, friends, how it works. He wants to connect with you and empower you, not to be a victim, but to be his victor. And look at one more great truth. He gives you, because of the resurrection, hope for eternity. For many, life is simply a meaningless, painful journey to nowhere. There's a better way. Look again at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Friend, this is the core of the good news. Hope for eternity. This is one of my favorite examples. If you go to the western edge of Spain, right there on the vast Atlantic Ocean, you will find this enormous stone monument. And inscribed upon it, chiseled are these words in Latin, ne plus ultra. Ne plus ultra. That means nothing more beyond. The Spaniards believed that their coast was the end of the world, and that ocean represented mystery, and there was nothing more beyond. Of course, 1492 comes along, and Columbus, he sails the ocean blue and discovers a vast new world beyond. So all of a sudden, the Spaniards realized that ne plus ultra is an arrogant and absurd statement. Did you know that all of the new coins that were minted in the new world proclaimed this statement? Stamped upon them was plus ultra, more beyond. Now, when Jesus Christ came into my life, He stamped upon my spirit that statement, plus ultra, more beyond. More beyond. My hope is in Him for eternity. Did you hear the story about Sandy and Andy, the twins that were in their mother's womb? Sandy and Andy were having a conversation one day, and that little girl, Sandy, she says, Andy, I believe in life after birth. Andy said, what do you mean life after birth? You see, there's nothing more than this warm, beautiful, dark space that we live in. Sandy said, oh no, I believe there's something more. I believe there's light and freedom beyond. And Andy, I believe there's a mother. Mother, said Andy, what are you talking about? We've never seen a mother. Sandy said, but can't you hear those muffled sounds and feel those loving squeezes? I believe there is life after birth. And when they were born, it was so much more than they imagined. Which brings us to the last great truth. Please make this note. See, I want you to be sure about your eternity. So add to the resurrection miracle and meaning your resurrection moment. Your resurrection moment. It could be here and now, because the goal of this service is to connect you to Jesus, our redeeming, resurrected, living, available Savior, who right now invites you to follow Him, to step out of death and into His life, to step out of your darkness and into His light. And this could be your time and your place. Let me explain how it works. It is as simple as A, B, C. You've got to admit that you are a sinner. You must agree with what God has already stated about your life in Romans 3, that you are a sinner by your nature and your choices. And then you've got to move to the B, and the B is you've got to believe that Jesus is the living Savior. He is the source of eternal life. The Bible says with beauty and clarity that God so loved the world, He so loved you that He gave His only Son, Jesus. And if you would believe in Him, you don't have to perish. If you would trust Him, you can have eternal life. And the way you connect is the C. You call upon Him. The Scripture explains it in Romans 10, verse 9. If you will call upon Him, if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, because you believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 13 says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How do you do that? Through prayer. So let's pray together. Dear Father, oh dear Father, we thank You for the marvelous meaning of Easter. We thank you that you are the resurrected Redeemer. Lord, I know there are people here right now, and their greatest problem is that they are not connected to you, the source of life. And I pray that right now there would be many people, boys and girls, men and women, who would give their life to you. Oh, my friend, if you are ready to make that salvation transaction, it's this simple, just give Jesus your life. I wish I could do it for you. I cannot. But as an act of your choosing, as a decision of your will, you can step out of your death and into his life. And let me be your guide, just with your heads bowed, your eyes closed, in your heart, just silently pray this prayer because God can hear the thoughts of your heart. See him high and lifted up on that cross for you and pray this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I admit that I am a sinner and I cannot save myself. Lord Jesus, I believe you died on that cross for me. Jesus, come into my life. Jesus, forgive my sin. Make me your child. And I promise to follow you all the way. Friend, if you pray that prayer just as a witness to it, just with your heads bowed, would you raise a hand? Just raise a hand as a witness and a testimony. Yes, fantastic. Raise a hand to say, I've prayed that prayer. I've given my life to Christ. Terrific. Thank you. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you for touching hearts and lives and making that eternal transfer. It's in Jesus' name we thank you. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.